We love you, lovely one. You are the created beauty, the createful beauty, the creative beauty of heaven. We love you, magnificent one, holy one. We render our hearts completely to you, bow our knees and our hearts and our minds and our wills and our emotions to you. How privileged we are, Jesus. How privileged we are to be with you today. What an honor to be able to be in your presence today. Thank you for the freedom to be able to express ourselves fully to you today. There is no one greater, no one more beautiful, no one fairer, no one at all who compares to you, to your majesty, to your holiness, to your tenderness, to your mercy. We're in love with you, Jesus. We thank you for this honor and privilege. Just thank you, Lord, that the sweet-smelling aroma to your nostrils is increasing today. Worship for you. Worship of you. Worship to you. We were created to worship you, Papa. That's why you created us. Thank you for the creativity, Jesus, that establishes us in your arms of love. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. We bless you today. We honor you today. We give you thanks today. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We can do nothing else. That's our response to you. Our response is to say, here we are. We're just little kids who love you. Just little ones who offer ourselves wholeheartedly to you. Just saying, Lord, Papa, we depend on you in every area of our life. Thank you, Lord, for taking charge, for being the commander-in-chief living on the inside of us. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you for the privilege of carrying you and releasing you to the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the closeness. Thank you for the intimacy. Thank you, Lord, that we are established in you. We find our favor in you. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. That says how good you are. You're so good. So good. Thank you for your grace. We bless you for your grace. Your grace on us. Your grace to us. For you are grace. You are the epitome and the containment of all grace. You are our all-sufficient one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Papa. We bless your name. We thank you. If you're not feeling well today, physically well, our healer is here. Just lift your voices. Let's all lift our voices and thank the Lord for his powerful healing anointing and presence. Thank you, Holy One, for touching those places that we know about and the ones we don't know about. Thank you, Lord, for your healing anointing, your aroma of heaven, saturating the bodies here, saturating the minds here, saturating the wills here, saturating our emotions here. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. Thank you, Lord. We just call heaven down. We thank you, Lord, that heaven comes down into our circumstances, into our sphere of hope and influence. Thank you, Lord. Keep rushing through us, Holy Spirit. Rush through those places that need your heavenly touch. Thank you for repairing the bodies. Thank you, Lord, for restoring our minds. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening the emotions that have been damaged. Thank you, Lord, that the only stronghold is our fortress in you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Just feel him close to you right now. Never give up. Never, never, never quit. Never give up. Never, never, never quit. Thank you, Lord, that our faith is in you, the author and finisher of that faith. And thank you, Lord, that we will not shrink back, hold back, retreat, regress, digress, Lord, that we'll move forward in motion and in tandem with you. And the great call that you have for this body, on our lives, for those present here, and our families. Thank you, Lord, for the extension of your grace and your love and your power and mercy to our families. For those of you who have family members who are ill, just lift them up before the Lord now. We thank you for a heavenly sweep of power and anointing to fall upon them right now where they are. Holy Spirit, come and invade their bodies, invade their minds, invade their circumstances, their will and emotions. Let them know that they've been touched by heaven right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We decree it. We thank you in advance for it. We expect it, and we believe it wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, because of your blood, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Just want to welcome Papa Bill back here from Indonesia. He was here on Tuesday. Just glad to have him back. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Just praise God for you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for his life, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the completion. For the completion of this mission in Asia. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you for what you've accomplished overseas and here. Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Andy was going to share a little bit about Friday with the two outreaches. Now or later? What? Okay. There you go.
Well, Friday was an awesome night of awesomeness. So I want to thank you guys that came out to draw. It was a really amazing time. And actually, if Rachel could come up here, Koblenz, I know you're here somewhere, and the wonderful Rick Rogers. I want to say like Roy Rogers, but it's Rick Rogers. But we had an incredible time. Our booth was at the same place it was at last time. There was an incredible turnout. This last First Friday was the most booths that they had ever set up the whole time. And I think it was just kind of a little foretaste of what was coming for the 4th of July, because they're having four fireworks down there. The 4th of July is on Friday. It's going to be a Friday night. There is going to be thousands of people down there. And the coolest thing, well, it's always the coolest thing, just to be able to share the heart of Jesus and release his presence to people. And I don't know if you have that video, Andrew, but there was a lady, I'm sure that you guys have heard Kim testify about the lady who had a picture drawn for her, that basically laid out some things that had happened to her in her life with her children and all that different kinds of things. So she showed up that night with her friends. They always talk about these pictures. They can't wait. They came down specifically for the reason to meet us at our booth. It's just so cool. And if they're coming with that, I guess you're going to have, is it there? Yeah, you guys can. So hopefully you can hear this. It's kind of a little bit dark since we were down there, but this is really cool. So I'm here with
Jackie,
and can you tell us what happened with the pictures and all this fun stuff on First Friday?
I was here 3.5 years ago on a First Friday and got a picture drawn with my friends, and to the point it had two children, a baby, which I was pregnant with my second, was not having any more children at all, period, and it also had an angel baby in the sky with a rainbow. I later have found that I have three children and had a miscarriage between my first and second child. So the picture was identically correct, to the point.
And you had said you'd found it in a drawer?
I did. I found it in a drawer after my son was born. I had put it away, kind of like, it's just a piece of paper. And I found it when I was cleaning.
And so what kind of came up in your mind and your heart when you pulled it back out?
I laughed, actually, and then I texted my two friends, and then they were like, oh, it's so true. So, and now they brought me back today. We were here, and they got their pictures drawn today. So they had me get mine drawn again.
And what did you get drawn again?
Today I had a Barnstores with different gifts with me on a platform, and I was speaking, and what I was speaking to was inspiring others.
And what were you sharing about?
I'm not sure yet. Hopefully it will come about, but hopefully you think good things.
Cool. So does this kind of like encourage you that God knows your heart, your plan, your future, and all that stuff?
It does. It does. And I've always been one that's not been so much of a believer all the time. But it's starting to come around. And I do believe everything happens for a reason. So it was a little bit surreal.
Cool. Anything else you want to throw in there? Sweet. Awesome.
So that was awesome. And the Lord definitely has been impressing this on my heart that part of the reason when we go down there, it's not just to draw pictures. It's not just to give them something awesome, because the Lord does know them. He knows their hearts. But it opens up a door and a platform for us to share Jesus with them. And it's an important part. So if you have a thought of maybe coming down to First Friday and you're like, I don't know if I can draw a picture. Phil came down because he brought Kenzie, and he hadn't drawn pictures in a while, and he fired off like 5 or 6 just like that. And it was great. It was just like getting back on a bike, wasn't it, Phil? Absolutely. But back just to encourage bike. You guys, like, we have such incredible opportunities, and don't let the thought of that it's a picture limit you of, like, I don't know if I can go down there and do that, because these people are sitting right in front of you. The picture is a vehicle to engage them. Like, evangelism is so easy that you literally ask them to come and sit down. And they sit there. And then you can engage them in conversation. It's not like they have they can walk away. Not that we're trapping them there, but it's an amazing opportunity just to share the heart of the Lord. And so we also have the Jackson Community Celebration that's coming up at the end of the month, and it starts Wednesday night, and it's Thursday night, and it's Friday night, and it's all day Saturday, and literally all the people in Jackson, young people, everybody, they'll be down there, there'll be rides and everything else, and we'll have an opportunity to do this same thing, where we actually did share pictures and things like that. But again, don't let the thought limit you of that it's a picture. This is an opportunity to connect with people, share Jesus with them, and a lot of times the picture confirms what's already going on in their heart. So there's a sign-up sheet in the back on that table. Yeah, you don't have to draw if you don't want to. You can just come and share your heart. And so Rick also has a pretty cool testimony of what happened on Friday night.
Well, there's no shortage of people to pray for. So, yes, come down. It's a blast. And really, God opens a lot of doors. But there was a gentleman, the same gentleman that Jackie comes down to seek us out for a word, an encouraging word from the Lord. And this gentleman is no different. He comes down every Friday and wants to seek us out and get a, you know, encouraging word. And so he came, and I had the pleasure of speaking with him. And immediately God gave me actually 2 pictures. And I was having a hard time what the pictures really were. And so I was talking to him and, you know, just kind of getting a feel for him and getting to know him a little better. But it was a picture of 2 owls on a tree and then a half-open window. And it's funny, because the night before I had a picture for someone else with an owl, but wasn't related. But his jaw dropped, and he had this blank look of, oh, my gosh, I just can't believe what you just told me. And sharing the word into God was given revelation of those 2 pictures. And he goes, hold on 1 minute. And this guy was a professional photographer. And he carries around this big expensive camera and his computer. He pulls out his computer and pulls up a PowerPoint thing of all of these pictures. The 2 pictures that I had drawn for him were the very first 2 pictures on his PowerPoint. The exact same thing. 2 owls. He was walking through Sippo Lake. I mean, how often does this happen? You're walking through, ready to take pictures, and there's 2 owls sitting up on a limb. And he snapped a picture of that. And then he ended up taking another picture of a window that was half open. And God, it immediately spoke to his heart. And he said, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're saying. And so it was such an encouraging thing for me to see him being blessed and the word that I gave him that just encouraged him. And, you know, got to share the Father's love with him more and more. And it was an incredible connection of the hearts and, you know, just God doing something wonderful in his heart. And the second thing that happened that was really cool to me, there was a guy that was running down. I don't know if he was running or what he was doing, but this guy was amped up on something. He was charged. But he had two black eyes. And God just said, speak to this guy. And he almost went past us. I said, hey, man, what happened to your eyes? And he goes, I don't want to tell you. I've told a million people, but since you ask, I'm going to tell you. You know, so so he started telling me all this stuff about his what had happened. It was an altercation and everything. And Andy happened to come by, and he said, what happened to your eyes as well? And he didn't want to say it again, but he goes, but since you asked, I'll tell you. And he went through it again, you know, it was funny how we just were talking to him, and he was a little rough, and God opened a door there to share the Father's love with him. And this whole time we were talking to him, I mean, he was amped. You could tell there was something going on with him. But you know, when the light comes, it shoves out the darkness. And when you start sharing the Father's love, his whole countenance just changed. It just shifted to this where his spirit was ready to receive the Father's love. And just sharing that with him, and by the time it was all done, I mean, I went through the whole, you know, how Jesus loves him. And once all of his heart, he said he gave, you know, a part of him, but not all of him. And I said, he wants all of you. And he's just pursuing me because he loves you so much. And just opened the door to share scriptures relating to that. But when it was all done, I said, can I pray for you? He goes, yeah, go ahead, you know. And so he received that prayer and just, you know, just like that, he was gone. But, you know, I said, you know, it's no coincidence that you ended up right here. And we were able to pray for you and encourage you tonight because I think God wants to maybe redirect you the direction you're going and you know, maybe wants to do something spectacular and with your life that you know, maybe where you're at right now. And he says, I think you're right. And that was it. But, you know, I'm encouraged and I'm confident that those seeds that are planted, you know, we don't always get to see the fruit of that. But I know at some time he's going to reflect back. And we pray that, you know, God would come to him in his sleep and his dreams and just reveal to him just how much he loves him and how much he deeply cares for him. Because he's at a place where I think he thinks he's got to fix himself before God will even accept him. And we just said, that's a lie, you know. And so, you know, that was my encouraging cool
night. Lord.
I want somebody like that drawing a picture for me downtown to be like, that's awesome. So really, again, just encourage you guys, sign up for the other thing, for the Jackson Community Celebration, and kind of mark it on your calendars for the 4th of July. It's going to just be amazing, and the light does break through the darkness. And so the other thing that happened on Friday night was Rachel had a crew of some people, and I'll let her share about that because it was a lot of fun.
Well, we had a fruitful evening as well. It was initially I was a little disappointed because we had a small group of the kids. They seemed a little shy and a little like it was just different. It was, you know, it was the first time we did this, so it felt like a groundbreaking thing that we did. And I know the Lord, you know, blessed our efforts because, you know, it was the anointing of Frontline was there, and just, you know, me partnering with other people, it was powerful. And so we had Troy and Rachel and Cynthia and Lawrence and Ashley and then Anna, she's a girl that comes on Tuesday nights, we're down there. So we did a doctor skit, just a funny little doctor skit for them. And then we did the hard skit. And then Troy just kind of gave like a little, you know, message about God's love. And all of them, you know, said that they know Jesus. They have Jesus in their hearts. So we did fun, you know, just we had face painting. We had sparklers. We had the color bombs, just different things that we did with them. So, but yeah, the big thing I think that was big that I was like when Troy was talking to them, like it just touched my heart, like how these kids, you know, their fathers and their mothers, like, you know, I hear them being yelled at and, you know, screamed at, and just to have adults, you know, mothers and father figures come out and love on them and just, you know, show them love, like just playing with them. Like, I think that was big. So I was blessed by you guys coming out. So thank you.
Woo! Yes, Lord. So it's Kingdom Kids, or Kingdom Kids can be released. Thank you for the warm welcome back. That's inspiring. I might be able to go like 3 or 4 hours. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're the one we worship. You're the one that we welcome here, Father. We bless your name. We thank you for the worship this morning, Father, just free and wild and loud, and we just let go as children and dance around and worship you, Father. We thank you that we have that freedom if we want to step into it. Every moment that we do, we're even more free. Father, we thank you for that. We need it right from your hand. We need it right from your heart. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a memory from my youth, which wasn't that long ago. But I remember my father, whenever he would get ready for some big event, he would pull out the one suit that he had, and he would put on that suit, and he would always lather himself up with Old Spice. Now, if you think of that name, it's not such a great name if you think about it. Old Spice. Old Moldy Spice. Old Sit Around Forever Spice. But obviously it's survived for decades and they have the new fancy ads now. But back in that day, it was about the only thing you heard that men used. Old Spice and Aqua Velva. Those were the two, it seemed like. And he chose Old Spice. So it smelled okay when he was all, you know, dressed up and ready to go to the event. But if you added a little perspiration to it, it didn't necessarily smell that good. Smelled great, fresh, right out of the bottle, but you add a little perspiration to it, it doesn't really smell that good. But I just, you know, I just thought about that, you know, that it's a memory as much as any other memory. The smell in the house when Dad was getting ready to go to an event. Now, he didn't get dressed up very often. So it's just something that sticks in your memory. And maybe you have some of those memories of smells. I know when Christy was young, and even now, she always runs up and says, "Ugh, smell this." Now, if someone runs up to you and they have a bad smell, you know, on their finger, or they have something they smell in the room, and come in here, smell this in here. If it smells bad, do you really need to know how bad it smells, identify where the source might be? If it's so bad of a smell, you just go, okay, it smells bad. I don't need to go in there and smell it. I don't need to smell it on your fingers. I don't need to smell it out of your refrigerator. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's a science experiment inside your refrigerator, I don't need to smell it. But on the other hand, oh, you should smell this. This is so great. Oh, smell that, lilacs. Well, there's a particular tree. I'm really bad at naming trees, but I'll walk down a street and I'll smell this tree and I'll just want to bask in that aroma of that tree and just stay in that spot. It's so wonderful. You know, we have an aroma and we can smell like Jesus or we can shut it off and we don't smell like Jesus. When we were overseas in Asia, the team, there were certain things that we did that I know we smelled just like Jesus. We couldn't take credit for it. You can't produce that smell within yourself. Just like when I told the snake charmer, look into my eyes. Do you see Jesus? And he fortunately said, yes. I can't make him see Jesus. I can only be confident that he's in my eyes. You can only be confident that you smell like him when good things are happening in the spirit. So some of the things that stick out to me from my time in Asia are some of the ways that we were the aroma of Christ. You know, you celebrate it as much as the people receiving the fragrance. You celebrate that you're the aroma of Christ, that everywhere you go, you're giving out the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you're giving off an aroma that draws them into Jesus. Hopefully it doesn't just draw them into you. That's not good enough. People in India and Indonesia and Singapore, some of them are pretty impressed by Americans. They want to talk to you just because you're from America. But that smell isn't good enough. That smell isn't strong enough to change anyone's life. Only the aroma of Christ. Are we a fragrance for the Lord Jesus Christ? So when we went up this river in India and it's raining and I'm not necessarily feeling at my best, but pressing in and knowing God's going to do something amazing, and Troy and I are on that boat and it's chugging along up this river and his hat flies off and, you know, we're never going to get that hat again, even though it was his favorite hat. And we get up to this village, and he sees a volleyball net. And I'm feeling, you know, it's 100 degrees. That would be about the last thing that I would want to do, would be play volleyball. So I headed for the hut where the church was. Tried to get in the shade of the hut. And Troy takes off somewhere across the field. He's going to play volleyball in 100 degree heat with these guys. And he brings them back. He brings the volleyball team back into the small church that I'm in and brings them in as part of a group that we're going to speak to. That's the aroma of Christ. When you can play volleyball in 100 degree heat and smell good, that's quite an accomplishment. And bring people to hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ being preached and sung about in a small little church up a river in a nondescript village in India. That's fun. I don't know about you, but that's fun. It's fun seeing the aroma of Christ draw them in. And just that self-sacrifice of going out in the hot sun and playing volleyball brought them in so that they could hear about the gospel. So fun. When I think about going to Singapore and down in the area called Geylang. Everyone in the city knows what Geylang's all about. It's about good food and prostitution. So some people go down for the good food, and inevitably some people go down for the streets that are filled with a line of girls from various countries. We knew the streets we were supposed to go to for Indonesia because we had Tanya with us, and she speaks Indonesian language, so we could go to that street and actually communicate with the women on that street. And so we knew that it was Street 12 and Street 24 that we could go down and we'd find some Indonesian women on those streets. Isn't that sad that you can even identify what street and what country? That's how prevalent the problem is in that city, and yet the city is gleaming. It's the cleanest city I've ever been to. People in the church think, oh, that problem down there in Geylang, that's been cleaned up, right? The government's cleaned up. They trust their government to clean it up rather than maybe taking the fragrance of Christ down there. There are many, many churches in Singapore, and they could take the fragrance of Christ down there, but there's so few that actually do it because they think the government has taken care of it. So we went out on the streets, and it was a little bit intimidating for Tanya, her first time out. And yet we prayed over her, we prayed in a circle, we kept, you know, trying to engage with the women on the street. Many of them don't want to talk to you because they have a debt to pay, and they don't want to mess that up with their pimp. They want to make sure that they can pay their debt. Well, they'll never pay their debt. But how do you tell them that? You know, how can you be the aroma of Christ to them and get across to them that there's a way out? And the way out is not to try to pay the debt to the pimp. So we took quite a while trying to talk to several people, finally started just praying over anyone that was willing, over any women that were willing to receive prayer, even with the pimp standing there watching them. Some of them were willing to receive prayer. So we went up to two women that were standing beside a car, and they were willing to receive prayer, so I prayed over them, and Tanya and Michelle walked up to them, and Lawrence and I started talking with the pimp. And he obviously was new at it, because he was taking cookie after cookie that we had in a container that we brought, and all the other pimps, they weren't doing that, but this guy, cookie after cookie. And we're standing there talking with him, and he's talking about, oh, I'm in construction. And he must have been new because he wasn't watching what was going on so closely with Tanya and with Michelle as they were sharing with this girl and praying for her and telling her there's a way out and slipping her a number to the ministry that could be a way out for her. And she wanted her two children prayed for because she felt she was a Christian, and she felt she wanted her two children to follow in that, only to go farther, obviously, than she was going. Many people on the streets believe they're Christians, and maybe some of them are. They're just trapped. It's something where you say, how can we be an aroma down here? But for that girl, that night, we were an aroma. And it's just so amazing to see the opportunity to give her a way out, to offer a way out for this one person out of all that were on the streets that night, the one that was wide open, the one that was willing to step forward and receive prayer and possibly step forward to take the risk of a way out. But it was the fragrance of Christ given off by Michelle and Tanya with that girl that really impacted her life. And it's there for each of us. We each have a fragrance of God when we're stepping into what he wants us to do, to reach out to people. You can think of people in your mind right now, in your families, in your friends, in your circle. You don't have to go all the way to Singapore, that you can be a fragrance for him. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. Who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many, peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity, but as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God. Sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. We are a fragrance of Christ to God among those being saved and among those who are perishing. When we come to the unbeliever and we are that fragrance, if they don't respond, they start out in death and they can get no farther. They stay in death. They stay separated from God. But from someone who wants to go from death to life, we can be that fragrance to them. For someone that wants to just add more to their life, have more of an abundant life with Christ, have that fullness, have that connection with God even closer. We're life to life. They have some life, and we can add to it. We can bring more life into their midst. So I was in Singapore at this ministry that goes out to the people of Geelong and had the 5 o'clock in the morning meetings for 2 hours for 3 mornings and some meetings at night and so on. And I don't remember which one was the first one where I sang over them, but I started worshiping and singing over the people that had gathered there in the room. And got finished with worship and the leader took some testimonies. Some people had some testimonies, so he said, go ahead, share your testimony. And 2 people shared that they were healed in worship. You know, there's nothing that I can think of that warms my heart like that. When you're just worshiping the Lord like we do here, we just abandon ourselves in worship, and God just comes in and touches people and loves on them and heals them in the middle of worship. No one prayed for them. No one went up to them and laid hands on them. Just worship in, just healing in the middle of simple worship. You know, that's coming more and more. That's happening more and more across the earth. We're hearing more about it here. We're hearing more about it when we go overseas. People are just getting touched by God as we reach out as the fragrance, as the aroma of him. They're just getting touched. People who shouldn't give their lives to Christ in the natural, I mean really shouldn't give their lives to Christ, are bending their knee to Jesus. Businessmen who have lots of money are finding that to be very empty in Indonesia and in Singapore. People who are on the streets and of a different religion like Hinduism or Islam are more quickly, without discussion, without arguments, turning their lives over to Jesus. Because it's going to be the birth pains, isn't it? It's going to start increasing across the earth. The fragrance is going to increase. You're going to be much more smelly than you've ever been before. People are going to see the contrast much more than ever before. You're going to smell like a perfume like never before among the circle of people that you're around. And it's going to affect them. So you have to step into that. You can't say, well, I'm not much of a witness for Jesus. I do things wrong in my life, and so I'm just, that will turn off the spray. You have to be stepping into it confident that you are a son or daughter of the Most High. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you as dynamite. He wants to explode out of you to the world. He wants to explode out of you to your friends and family. The ones in your family that you may have a temptation to give up on, you cannot give up on them because you are such an explosion on the inside of love for them that they could be totally changed in a moment. because of the increase of your smelliness, the increase of your aroma. These are the days that your aroma is going to be much more smelly. Now, sometimes, you know, we could switch it over to light in the darkness, as was shared in the testimony this morning. Sometimes your light's too bright for the crowd you're with. But you can't be discouraged about that. I think I shared Tuesday night. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I was sharing with individuals. But I heard music in a bar. A couple of girls singing in a bar that was in our hotel. And so I took my guitar, and we had been out ministering that night, and took my guitar into the bar and sat and had a cappuccino while they were singing. And Tanya said, You're gonna play, right? You're gonna get up there and play, right? Right? And I said, let's wait for an invitation. So the guitar players, when they saw that guitar come in, their eyes, I could see, got big. And that's happened in several places in the world. They see the things we have here in the United States, and they would like to have some of those things. So they see the guitar come in. They see me come in. They don't care about me. They care about the guitar. But I thought, let's wait for an invitation. So we waited a little while. I was getting close to the end of my cappuccino. Perfect timing. The guy comes up. And he says, would you like to play? I said, sure. So I went up to the podium, and as soon as I take the guitar out, that's my dream guitar. That's my dream guitar. Obviously, he's been looking on the internet at things that he's dreaming about for the future, but doesn't have the funds for it right now. So I take the guitar out. I start playing upbeat music for them, and at first they're very interested. And then I started playing a blues song, and they were very interested, except the blues song that I play ends up being the anti-blues because it's about Jesus coming in and rescuing you. So it's an anti-blues song. And so they were all interested until they started hearing Jesus over and over and over again. And suddenly, the light became too bright. The aroma was too much. You know, sometimes when I put on my Eternity, I love the name, Eternity for Men, Summer Edition. Oh, yeah. It draws Mary Pat in, I'll tell you that. So when I put on my Eternity for Men, Summer Edition, sometimes I put a little bit too much. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, oh yeah, oh, this is great stuff. And I, you know, walk out of the bathroom and it's way too much. Normally Mary Pat doesn't say anything. It would be someone with a sensitive nose, and I could name her, but I won't. And then I'm told, ooh, Dad. Okay, you could have toned it down just a bit. Got carried away, did ya? I never said who it was. I never said who it was. So anyway, in this bar, these people get up, about 10 of them, and just walk out. The two girls that had sung, their guitar players, all their people that were there to watch them, they just walk out while I'm playing the end of this blues song. They liked the blues. They liked the guitar. They liked everything that was going on except the message. But I just chuckled inside. I thought, the light's too bright. The aroma's too much. You see, when you're a son or daughter, you don't have to have the orphan response. Oh, they don't want to hear my music. They don't like my playing. They don't like the way I sing. Orphan, orphan, orphan. That's an orphan response. The son or daughter says, the light's too bright. The aroma's too rich. Wow, thank you, God. Thank you that I smell that way. Thank you that I'm confident in singing about Jesus. Only you could give me that confidence. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was hiding behind a curtain of hair. And now, I'm too much for people. I'm blowing them away with Jesus. It's okay. It's okay. Next time. That was a seed. Next time. Next time. We might go back to the same hotel. Some of those same people might be around. And they've gone through a year or two of difficulty. And now it's their time. And that aroma will smell different to them. They'll say, that's just right. That's just right. It's happened before. You never give up on the first shot. Jesus, you know, he was the same way. He just, everywhere he went, he was a disruption. He was either praised or he was run. People ran from him. And sometimes they praised and then they wanted to crucify him. You know, people are fickle. They don't know. They're like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. But we can be confident that we give off the aroma they need. Life to life is what we want for each person. If they start out and they can't handle the aroma, they can't handle the fragrance, we just keep loving. We just keep caring about them. So I was in a hotel in India, and it was the exact opposite response. A couple of pastors came in that I wanted to talk to. Came 2 hours by motorcycle just to talk to me for a while. So they said, hey, can we see the guitar? Sure. I went upstairs. I got the guitar, brought it down. Well, the people at the desk had seen this guitar go in and out, you know, every day. They wanted to know what was in that case. They wanted to see what that guitar sounded like. So I pulled it out. I started to play, and it was the exact opposite. When I was singing about Jesus, when I was playing the guitar, they were still interested. They were still wondering, what is this guy doing in our hotel? We've got incense to Hindu gods in this hotel that they walk by all the time and they, you know, light the incense. But guess what? Our fragrance is stronger. There was more impact for Jesus, and it overruled centuries of Hinduism for those people at that desk. For those people in that room, the businessman seated across from me was interested in what in the world made me want to sing about Jesus. Our fragrance is stronger than anything that the world has to offer. But you have to step towards it. Put on a little extra. Let it permeate the room. You know, the woman that broke open the jar and let it flow over Jesus' head and washed his feet with her hair and so on. That fragrance, it said in the Bible, filled the room in John 12. Filled the room. And there was a reaction to it. Some of the disciples, led by Judas, said, what are you doing? You could have taken that amount of money that was given towards that container of sweet-smelling stuff, and we could have given it to the poor. But even the scriptures said they were lying. At least Judas was. He wanted the money in the money bag so that he could pilfer from it. They couldn't handle worship towards Jesus. Even people in the room. But there were others, I'm sure, that were affected by it. Other disciples that were saying, wow, I wish I worshipped him like that. I wish I was willing to pay that price. When Lawrence was ministering in Manado in Indonesia, we had two crusade nights. And the first night, we said, Lawrence, offer deliverance. We had had salvation, people came to the Lord. We had healing. People were healed. Time to offer some deliverance for a village that we had been told had much witchcraft, had much demonic activity. And so we offered that through Lawrence. And no one came forward. No one wanted deliverance. No one wanted any help. And they needed it. They absolutely needed it. So what's the problem? It happened to Jesus as well. He would offer treasure, no takers. He would offer complete freedom, no takers in some cases. And then in other cases, obviously, there were those that took advantage of that. Each of us has that decision. Do we want more freedom? Do we want to be smellier for Jesus? We can step towards that, or we can just kind of say, well, I think it's good enough. Don't want to be too wild here. Don't want to put too much on. Someone might get offended. More and more across the earth, people are less offended. They're needy. They're so needy. And the light is so bright. The fragrance is so strong. They're starting to step towards it, not away from it. So if we're stepping back, I don't want to be too crazy for Jesus. I don't want to be too radical. It's the wrong direction, because there's going to be more people won as we become more salty, as we become greater in fragrance, as we become a much brighter light. There will be some that walk away, but some of the ones that would never come before are going to come in this season. So let's receive all from him that he's wanting to give us to be that person that has aroma. So the very next night at the crusade, well, actually that night, there was a person in the crowd that needed deliverance, too shy to come up, and people guided us over to her, and we believe that she got some release. She was too afraid to come forward, but God got it done anyway. Had her receive some measure of deliverance. She was having mental problems, confusion going on in her mind, and her mother and others in the village were very concerned about her. So we prayed for her, and one of the things she asked for was a Bible. And so we took one the next night, and she didn't happen to be there, but she'll get that Bible eventually, because it's a small village area. So we'll get to her. And, you know, the Word of God is powerful. It can clear up a lot of confusion. And I'm sure it will inside of her. The next night, Lawrence offered deliverance, and there were some takers, but they were still a little bit shy. So he gave Lawrence the brilliant idea of having the children come up. And so all these children came up, a big crowd, and he started to pray over them. And then the adults started feeling courageous and started coming closer to what was happening in deliverance. And think of it, all those children with all those homes represented, and they're getting a measure of freedom from the demonic dreams and the witchcraft out of that village. And it's leading the adults. Many times he'll work with the children to reach the adults. Obviously, Iris Ministry has found that to be true in Mozambique. They started with the children in the dirt, and now it's spread to more than 10,000 villages. 10,000 churches being established among adults, but it started with children. And so in that village that night, with those children coming forward, then the adults had the courage to come forward and get some of what God had. The children were always willing. They ran up to the front. They couldn't wait, especially since Lawrence had played with them before the crusade two nights in a row. Built some relationship. Let some of that aroma splash onto them. They were saying, hey, whatever you want to do, you tell us to jump, we'll jump. You tell us to receive, we'll receive. Ask us to pray, we'll pray. Ask us to sing, we'll sing. The heart of a child can lead those that are having difficulty, and it does.
So what Rachel's doing in that neighborhood, those adults are going to be affected. Whether you have two or three children show up, or 10 or 15 on a particular occasion, over time, those households are going to be affected. They're going to see changes in their children. They're going to wonder, where in the world that happened? Oh, you go down to that lady. That aroma. You go down to that fragrance. That's what's going on, and she's all about Jesus. And the fragrance will spread throughout that neighborhood. Oh, that we all find our place like that, where we can spread the fragrance that we are in Jesus. In Ephesians 5:2, it says, "And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." It started with Jesus. Interesting that they used to put between 40 and 100 pounds of spices on you when you were buried. Think of that. To cover up the smell. But they're going to close you in a tomb anyway. I don't know what the theory was behind that. Did they think that you would smell to God and he might not take you? Unless they put the spices on so it would help the nostrils of God. I don't know what the deal was. But you know the big thing about Lazarus was, don't do anything with Lazarus. Don't open that tomb. He'll smell. Spend 4 days. The spices will have lost their potency after 4 days. But Jesus, that didn't stop him. He can bring a whole new fragrance. That was the fragrance of spices trying to cover over death. He can just release the person from death. And he'll be the fragrance for them. We need to see that there might be some people that are pretty smelly to us. They seem pretty dead. They almost seem like they're in the tomb, that they'll never come to real life in Christ. But they're never too far gone. They can be even dead in the tomb. And if Jesus wants them to come forth, they'll come forth and they will smell like Jesus. It tells later on, you know, before Mary put the anointing oil on Jesus and the whole deal, he was having dinner with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, the one that was raised from the dead. I don't think Lazarus was stinking at the meal. He was smelling more like Jesus than ever. So, talk about someone that was born again. He was born again in the physical twice, as well as, you know, having a born-again experience with Jesus. Very few people have that opportunity. But they smell like Jesus when they are touched by Jesus. We all smell like him. We have a strong fragrance. We have to be confident with it when we enter the room. The first plane trip from Cleveland to Newark, the plane started to shake. As it was taking off, it starts to shake. There's no turbulence yet. This is just the takeoff. And the plane starts to shake like crazy. And I said, "Holy Spirit, what's going on? It's going to be fine. This is just your first flight. You're on a mission. You're going to make it all the way to India because you're on a mission for me. So this is just the first flight. It doesn't matter if it shakes, bakes, turns upside down. You have to make this first flight to take the second flight to go to India. So everything's cool." So I started praying for the people in the plane. And he reminded me, they're blessed because you're on the plane. It's not you, Bill. It's that you're mine and you're on my mission. And you're a fragrance on this plane even if they can't smell you. Because you're blessing every person on the plane. So the plane is shaking the whole trip, and then when the turbulence starts, it even shakes more. And as it lands in Newark, it lands like this. On one wheel. Then it goes to the other wheel. And then it hits the other side again. You should have seen the people on that plane. They were like grabbing their hearts and, oh. And yet, I was at peace and kind of laughing. I didn't laugh out loud, but I was laughing on the inside because I already knew it didn't matter what kind of landing the plane had, I was going to land safely. And all of them were going to land safely. Sometimes we're a secret fragrance, but we have to realize we are and not step into the fear that comes with so many of life's events. We have to step into the sonship, not the orphan. Sonship, daughtership, not the orphan response. The orphan response is fear. The response of a son or daughter is, that was a crazy landing. Laughter. Fear or laughter? Laughter, when it's of God, trumps fear. Something so small, laughter, trumps a very strong emotion, paralyzing emotion with some people. Fear. Fear. Fear can paralyze. And laughter can release. Laughter is good medicine. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we're thinking, how could that be? These sound so small. You know, and fear when it hits us. It seems so strong. But these small things are more powerful because they're backed by a powerful God. Think of David's little stone against the mighty Goliath. Little sling. He doesn't even have any armor on. And yet he's so confident. I'm a son. This is a target I can't miss. It's so big. I can wing that thing and I could, you know, do a little bit of, you know, dancing around if I want. I can laugh. I can sing. I can throw this thing. And it's going to hit. It's going to hit where it needs to hit. It's going to take out the giant. It's going to level the giant. Then he takes out the giant's big, huge weapon and takes off his head. I mean, it's just funny. A small little stone. And it wasn't just the giant. The whole army went, the Philistines, and they started running. They didn't go, let's get him. You know, they had overwhelming numbers. They could have come down that hill and chased. Somebody could be just as fast as David, I'm sure. He was just a youth. Chase him down and kill him. But that wasn't the setup. They were supposed to surrender if Goliath went down. So they didn't want to surrender, so they ran. Okay, that was against the rules. Excuse me. If you're going to run, run towards David. If you're going to break the rules, run towards David. But they didn't think of that. And David's example was so strong, so powerful in such a small little package. It sent the army running the opposite direction rather than towards him. Keep that in mind when you're singing a little song when things are difficult. The little song can be so powerful. A little bit of worship on all these new guitar players that we have, praise God, amazing. I think we had how many, Josh? Wednesday night, like 9 or something, and plus 10 guitars. 10 guitars. People learning guitar, amazing. Those, you know, those small songs of worship, those beginning songs of worship, and as they worship on their own, wherever they're at, just learning the guitar, more fragrances going up to Jesus. More powerful things are going to happen in the Spirit. Look at how many are here this morning, and there's 10 new guitarists working on things. Small things being mighty. Last thing, You have a small mustard seed. Every one of us. Of faith. God gives us faith. We have a small mustard seed. I don't know about you. I always feel like it's still small. Every situation I run up against, I don't suddenly think, wow, I have a tree of faith for this. I always feel like I have a small mustard seed, whatever I face. But the secret for me is putting it in the hand of Jesus. He multiplies everything in his hand. Small boy's little lunch, no problem. Multiplication, 5,000 people fed. And the disciples go, wow, that was cool. And they get out on the in the boat and they're afraid. They didn't, you know, take the same mustard seed up there, put it in Jesus' hand, and let him multiply peace. Let him multiply calm. They were terrified. And he had to teach again. He's willing to put us through the lessons over and over again. But if you feel like you have a mustard seed of faith, don't try to make that mustard seed grow on your own. Put it in the hand of the one that can multiply it. Let your fragrance grow the same way. You can't go around going, I'm going to smell better for Jesus. I'm going to smell better for Jesus. I'm going to be a stronger fragrance for Jesus. I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. You're not the little engine that could. You are the powerful son or daughter that steps into grabbing your father's hand, and he will multiply anything you put in that hand. He will multiply your faith. He'll multiply your calm. He'll multiply your peace. He'll multiply your joy. And the smallest things will be very powerful when you're grabbing onto his hand to partner with him. Amen?
Amen.
That was pretty good. It was quick. I kind of quickly said it, and they right back. So that means at least five or six are listening. Father, we thank you, God. We know we need you to be the fragrance of Jesus in us, but it's increasing in us. If we're after your heart, it's increasing. If we're not after your heart, if we're playing games, if we're in offense, if we're being disobedient in some major way, God, if we're gossiping, if we're, you know, a million things, Lord, our fragrance is going to not be so strong. But if we're after your heart, it's multiplying because you need it to in order to cover the earth with your aroma. And we're your aroma. We're now, because of Holy Spirit inside of us, we are your body. We're what smells to the unbeliever, we're what smells to the world. And whether they're repelled by that smell or it draws them in, Lord, we are powerful with a powerful fragrance. We receive more of that from your hand today. We step into it. We realize it when we're in groups, when we're talking to an individual. We need to realize we smell like Jesus. They can tell after not too much of amount of time that we are a representative, an ambassador, a son or daughter of the Most High. Father, help us watch our words. Help us watch our complaining. Help us, Father, to step into giving out life and life only to those that are smelling our fragrance. And in the church, give us that heart of love and unity, Father. God, we need it from your hand. We're all challenged to love one another, Father. We need you to teach us. We need you to receive it from you, to give it out to others. And because you've made us that aroma, it can increase in this body, Father. As a body, we can smell much more pleasing in worship, in praise, in giving our hearts to you, in surrendering our lives to you, in not going after convenience and comfort, but going after commitment, Father. Going after communion with you. Yes, Lord, we bless your name today. We give you honor. And help us remember, we smell like you everywhere we go. God, we want it to be a pleasing aroma, giving a sacrifice to you and bringing life to life for every person around us. We give you praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. We lift you up. Amen. Amen. You're so stinking anointed, I can hardly stand it. You're so stinking smelly, I can hardly stand it.